Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Welcome back, everyone. On today's episode of the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast, we are going to be talking about our ovaries. Because as women, worldwide, there's a number of different issues around ovarian cysts. Not only, a lot of women think about polycystic ovarian syndrome, but there's other types of different ovarian cysts that you can be experiencing. Something like polycystic ovarian syndrome is a hormonal condition thought to affect even, 5 million women in the US alone. So that's one type of ovarian cyst that we can experience. And as we are in perimenopause, transitioning into menopause, there can be a number of different hormonal imbalances that can be associated with some of these cysts. Some of them can be painful. They can cause different issues. So this is where we wanted to dive into the different types of ovarian cysts, all of the factors that can be involved in them, things that you can think about in terms of lab testing and things that you need to talk to your doctor about to get checked out. And then, of course, give you some options in terms of what to do about it. So, Lisa, are you ready to dive in and talk about ovarian cysts today?
I am, definitely. Let's do it. So I can start with kind of what are some normal cysts, right? Because we do tend to form cysts sometimes during different phases of our menstrual cycle. So we do have what can be formed called follicular cysts. Follicular fists, nope, they're cysts, when the follicle fails to release an egg at ovulation. So that can grow and form a cyst. Out of these are called functional cysts, which I'm describing right now, and they are usually harmless. They rarely cause pain, and they can resolve within 3 cycles. So the follicular cyst forms in that first part of the cycle when you don't release that egg at ovulation, and a corpus luteum cyst happens after the follicle releases the egg, and instead of that leftover material, the corpus luteum, disintegrating or disappearing, it continues to grow and it can accumulate fluid inside of it, forming a cyst. So you may get transvaginal ultrasound and you may hear the term, normal physiological cyst. So, that's not what we're going to dive deep into today. We're going to talk about when there's more imbalances related to that cyst and you're getting more signs and symptoms.
For sure, because while those functional cysts are usually harmless and they rarely cause pain, there are other cysts that you can develop that can become large, can shift kind of the position of the ovary and even shift, the position of, your other organs in your abdominal cavity. And these, when cysts become larger, they can really increase the chance of your ovary becoming twisted, or which is called ovarian torsion. And that can also be really painful. And that can also really impact the blood flow to your ovary. So it can definitely have a major consequence to your health. So these kind of cysts, now there's a few different cysts that can happen with, and one of them is called a dermoid cyst. It's also known as a teratoma. It actually can contain tissue like hair or skin or teeth, because they often form embryonic tissue and cells in the ovary. Now, these cysts, again, sometimes can be cancerous, but very rarely. But again, you know, depending on the size and the position, that how it impacts the ovary, you know, it can cause issues. There's another type of cyst called a cyst adenoma, which develops on the surface of the ovary, and that can either contain water or mucus. And then there's also endometriomas, and that can develop as the result of your endometrial tissue, like your uterine lining tissue, actually growing outside of the uterus and attaching to the ovary. So that's really more related to having something like endometriosis. So again, these are cysts where they sometimes don't cause issues, but these are the type of cysts that can often cause issues with a lot of women. Mm-hmm. When these cysts kind of grow, become large, that can cause kind of some serious symptoms, but also, these cysts that grow larger and rupture can really cause issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these cysts are different than what we're going to be talking about when there's polycystic ovarian syndrome. So we know with PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, there's several different presentations of the syndrome. So we'll go through that. But it is a hormonal disorder, but it affects our endocrine system. It can impact or be caused by blood sugar and insulin issues. It can impact our heart health and our skin, representing, you know, as acne in some people, for example. It can affect our mood. There can be anxiety and depression associated with it. So not only can you have these hormonal changes, that things you can measure in the bloodstream or urine or saliva, but you're getting some physical signs and symptoms as well. And we'll first think about some risk factors. So, you know, there can be a genetic component, so things can run in the family and you're more, you know, susceptible to getting those. But we know genes are 100% our fate, right? We have what's called epigenetics, where, you know, the genes load the gun and the environment pulls the trigger, if you will. I know it's a weird analogy, but mm-hmm. things we do can turn genes on or off. But, you know, if you do have that genetic component, you may have an increased risk of getting it. And then we do know that insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalances are a huge trigger, because if you're releasing more insulin, you know, your insulin's not working properly to take the glucose out of your bloodstream. That's going to impact something called sex hormone binding globulin. So this binds up hormones, so they're not as strong or active in your system. So let's say insulin is, you know, resistant, you have to release more of it to try to take the blood sugar, like the sugar, out of your bloodstream. You release less sex hormone binding globulin and the testosterone actually appears higher. So you can have what are called the hyperandrogenic symptoms, like hirsutism. So you can have more hair growth on your face, on your chest, for example. You can also have acne, so that can be testosterone driven in the skin, on the face, the chest, and the back. We know you can have irregular menstrual cycles. You may have pain around ovulation because of those. If you have cysts associated with it, that's going to cause discomfort because they're not supposed to be there, right? They're larger than they're supposed to be. And you can have a whole host of other symptoms. We, you know, stereotypically, we used to think everybody that had PCOS, you know, is obese because there's that insulin resistance, but that's not always the case. Some women are actually, you know, thin, or they have a healthy BMI, but they could have some of these issues going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And while there are those kind of hormone issues with kind of higher testosterone and androgenic hormones when it comes to something like PCOS, there can be other hormonal issues, especially something like estrogen dominance, that can impact, you know, other cyst development, you know, when we're looking at cysts other than the polycystic ovarian syndrome. And again, we've definitely talked a lot about estrogen dominance in other episodes, so we'll definitely link to that in show notes. But definitely there's a number of different hormonal issues that can cause the different types of cysts. So something to really look at is, you know, especially if you are having irregular menstrual cycles or have been known to, you know, skip a period, that's something to really look for in terms of whether, you know, you fit in that PCOS picture. but also, you know, hormone imbalance, signs of estrogen dominance, you know, especially, you know, around PMS, a different acronym in terms of our menstrual cycles, you know, PMS, that can also be definitely a sign of estrogen dominance. So that's definitely something to look for. And this has been, you know, an issue with estrogen dominance when you are even, you know, taking different medications. You know, something, if you've had fertility issues in the past and were taking Clomid, again, that can stimulate more types of ovarian cysts. Even a medication like tamoxifen for breast cancer has been linked to different ovarian cyst development. Another hormonal issue that can be linked with ovarian cysts is hypothyroidism. So again, and we'll link again to our thyroid episode in the show notes too, to look at again, we talk more about the connection between, you know, low thyroid function and our other hormones as well there. You know, Lisa, you mentioned having a BMI over 20, but even, you know, cigarette smoking has been shown to be a risk factor for different ovarian cyst development. Again, early menstruation, you know, when you started having your period, if you were 11 years or younger, again, that can be linked to some of that, even estrogen dominance as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and inflammation is a big contributing factor as well. And you can have some issues with your fat cells not working properly. So we know fat is actually an inflammatory tissue, an inflammatory organ, accessory organ, if you will. And when women have PCOS, their fat cells and tissues are causing more inflammation. You know, healthy fat in our body can produce anti-inflammatory substances, but when we have enlarged fat cells, when they're kind of hidden around organs, they're not getting blood flow. There's not much blood flow to fat cells, but you know, there should be a little bit there. But when there's more of them or they're enlarged, then some of the fat cells inside that fat tissue die. And that triggers inflammation. Your immune system has to come and clean up the debris from those cells. And that adds to the fire of inflammation in our body. And we release less of these anti-inflammatory substances and more inflammatory cytokines, as we call it. And then that actually, the inflammation will then influence how our insulin is working. So we need to pump out more insulin in response to carbohydrates, to sugars, etc. And that just adds fuel to the fire for the hormonal imbalances that we discussed before. And some women, you know, it may not be noted that they have this. Like they might be suffering from symptoms for a while, but they just chalk it up to PMS. But when they go in for a fertility workup, when they're trying to get pregnant, then through some more extensive testing, that's not typically done with just your regular medical doctor, you know, through different blood tests, transvaginal ultrasound, then this can be diagnosed. But I think a major trigger for people too is hair loss, right? So that can be associated with PCOS. So that can be a big trigger for women to investigate further what's going on with their hormones. So they have hair growth in areas they don't want it to be growing, you know, the lip, the chin, etc. And hair loss, male pattern hair loss, like at the temples where they're saying, oh, why is my hair thinning? That can be sometimes the impetus to get more investigations done.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important when, you know, kind of when we're talking about the increased inflammation from our fat tissue, you know, that's definitely something as naturopathic doctors, you know, that we like to look at and not just looking at someone's weight. You know, if you do have a higher BMI, I mean, that's not some really, you know, in-depth information. And that's something where as naturopathic doctors, we do like to dig in deeper to really look at, okay, what is your body composition? What is your body fat percentage? Now, as women, we need a certain amount of fat. That's important. But like you said, Lisa, it is important to really pay attention also if there is, you know, an elevated, you know, a body fat percentage, that can have impacts on our hormone balance and on the levels of inflammation in our body. And that's something that we can check with blood work and another lab testing that we'll get at too.
Definitely. Yeah. So we want to, you know, treat PCOS as a serious condition because, as we talked about, it can affect our whole system and increase your risk of diabetes, cardiovascular disease. You know, if they rupture, there can be issues, and then you can have adhesions or, you know, even worse problems if things get septic, for example. So it's something you don't want to ignore and you want to investigate. So should we go over, Tony, how do you know if you have PCOS? Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And that's, and this is where, you know, the lab testing can be important to really look at, for all different, you know, types of cysts issues. Especially because, you know, again, like you were talking about, Lisa, the hormone imbalances are, can be really important piece of PCOS. And especially if you're wanting to really see, okay, if there are any ovarian cysts, you know, first thing to really look at is getting an ultrasound, and specifically even a transvaginal ultrasound to really get a good look at the health of the ovaries. Now, there may be some cysts that show up, and with PCOS, it really is more of the presence of really very tiny micro cyst, polycystic ovaries. You know, there's usually about 12 or more small follicles on the ultrasound, and it's often even thought of like, you know, pearls or a pearl necklace. Now, so there may be cysts that show up on those ultrasounds. And so being able to see, you know, what the ovaries look like are important for really distinguishing between whether it's PCOS or even different types of ovarian cysts. Now, the interesting thing about something like PCOS is there's different types of PCOS. So oftentimes, like you said, Lisa, there's, you know, signs of higher androgen in terms of hormone imbalance, and you can have those symptoms like having acne or the excess hair growth, or even, you know, hair loss, you know, where we want hair on the top of the head and more hair growth, you know, upper lip or chin or chest. And having those ovarian cysts in the ovaries. But sometimes, again, there's a more of a type B where you can have all of those signs, irregular menstrual cycles, you know, acne or the hirsutism, or, you know, even that higher weight from insulin resistance. And you could have normal ovaries and no cysts on the ovaries, but still fit into what's considered PCOS. So sometimes that can be really confusing for people. Or you could also have PCOS where you have cysts on the ovaries, you have that hormone imbalance, but you are having regular menstrual cycles. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, how do you really know? And that's where the ultrasound can be really, really important to figure that out. So that's definitely need, you know, something that you need to get done through a medical doctor. And especially because of the idea of, you know, not just the sign of having that, those cysts on the ovaries, we also really need to look at what your hormones are doing. And we've definitely talked about this before in episodes where there can be a difference in getting hormone testing through the blood and, you know, even more comprehensive hormone analysis that we like to look at as naturopathic doctors through the urine, something like the Dutch test or the Qi test. Now, especially when it comes to our hormones, there are some hormones that are important to look at through the blood. Something like your luteinizing hormone or your LH, your follicular stimulating hormone or your FSH, your thyroid hormones are important to look at in the blood. You can look at your levels of testosterone and estradiol and DHEAS through the blood. But again, those you can also look at through the Dutch. So there's a number of pieces there. And then, you know, like we talked about in terms of the inflammation and the insulin resistance or blood sugar imbalance, those are also tests that you'd want to look at through the blood. Your not just your hemoglobin A1C, but also your fasting glucose and your fasting insulin, as well as, you know, there is a marker for inflammation called C-reactive protein that can be very helpful to get a sense of what that level of inflammation is like in your body.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to get a full workup, because there is a no one size fits all for diagnosis and all of these pieces we need to address, because it is a multifaceted disorder and we need to approach it from all different angles. And even just something like tracking your cycle, right? Checking your basal body temperature every morning and seeing, okay, is it going up by 0.5? You know, after, if you're ovulating, it'll go up by 0.5, seeing when that's happening in the cycle, because that can give you insight in terms of what's going on with your hormones. You know, are you aware of your ovulatory signs with your, you know, the cervix and what, you know, that feels like when you palpate your cervix, or what's happening with your cervical mucus. So these are all signs too that you can gauge on a monthly basis, and even before engaging in treatment, whether medical or with your naturopathic doctor. And then as treatment is progressing, to see are things moving in the right direction. You know, obviously if you're put on the pill, which is a big one, a lot of people go on Diane 35 because it has that anti-androgenic effect too. And it's, you know, basically overriding your hormones. So yes, you don't appear to have PCOS when you're on the pill, but what's going to happen when you're off the pill? But, you know, in those cases on the pill, you can't really listen to your own body rhythms to see how it's responding. But another medical treatment is metformin. So when there's that insulin resistance and the blood sugar is starting to become elevated, even if you may not fall into that diabetic diagnosis, but you could be pre-diabetic, metformin to help your insulin work better and to regulate your blood sugar is a really common medical treatment too. So birth control pill, metformin are commonly prescribed by medical doctors.
Yes. And what's also important to note too is while, again, PCOS can be hidden, you know, it's not often that those polycystic ovaries are creating that tension and pain and pressure. So if you are experiencing not only, again, the irregular menstrual cycles and even potentially fertility challenges, but absolutely if you are experiencing any kind of pelvic pain, especially after intercourse or vigorous exercise, or even if you're having kind of any abdominal pain or pressure, and sometimes that'll happen more when you're having a bowel movement or when you're urinating, or especially if you're having any nausea and vomiting with that pain, you absolutely want to get it properly assessed by a doctor, especially looking at an ultrasound to at least start with, to see, okay, what is actually happening with the health of your ovaries.
Definitely. So use those as warning signs. The pain, a lot of people describe it as really severe. It's so sharp, they can't do anything else. They may be vomiting, really nauseous. So these are really serious things that need to be investigated. And then looking at that blood testing or saliva or Dutch urine testing to just get those fine nuances where your imbalances are. So then you know what needs to be addressed and rebalanced, because a lot with PCOS, we do start with the diet. So we want to help normalize your blood sugar levels. So diet and exercise are really foundational, because exercise makes your insulin work better. You know, if you're doing some strength training, your muscles are going to, the insulin is going to allow your muscles to take glucose out of the bloodstream more effectively. It's going to make your insulin more sensitive. So exercise, and then with a diet that's lower in processed carbohydrates, low glycemic, anti-inflammatory, that's going to allow the blood sugars to get lower, your insulin to start to work more appropriately. And even looking at, are you doing a 12, 13 hour overnight fast? We know that's so key for our insulin to work properly. If we're constantly putting food in our system, that's going to throw off our system, our organs, our hormones, because we're really not supposed to be digesting, you know, 24/7, or, you know, how many 16, 18 hours out of the day. So we really want to start with nutrition and diet and really limit or avoid those sugar, simple carbs, and alcohol. And we've talked about this before, the importance of starting your day with healthy protein, healthy fat, incorporating those with your meals and snacks, because we do live in a society where convenience foods are really high in carbohydrates. You know, you grab that piece of bread, that bagel, the crackers for your snack, the chips. So really looking at those, because that does add up and impact your blood sugar and insulin over time.
Absolutely. And what we will also do then is link in the show notes to our previous episodes where we talk about, you know, eating for hormone balance and also eating to balance your blood sugar as well. And that balance of protein, healthy fat, and fiber is not only really key for your blood sugar balance, but also making sure that you get a good amount of fiber is really key when we want to really process our hormones properly, support that detoxification, bind up our hormones, and properly eliminate them from our body so that we're not reabsorbing and recirculating them. So, you know, different fiber in terms of, you know, healthy seeds, also veggies. And that's also where we really want to increase those liver supporting vegetables to, you know, properly support our liver to detoxify our estrogen. Those cruciferous veggies are broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, kale. Those are really key too.
Definitely.
And, like and then also.
Oh, you go ahead, Tony.
Oh, for sure. I was just going to say, especially when we're, you know, talking about managing a proper balance of hormones, especially when we're talking about estrogen dominance, we really want to look at avoiding the endocrine disrupting chemicals. And this was a great conversation that you had, Lisa, with Emma Roman in episode 65, where we talked about the impact of these chemicals, especially, you know, that are, you know, really ubiquitous in our culture. And really avoiding those can even just start with, you know, avoiding a use of plastics, and single use plastics and heating plastics as well. So I just thought that that was a really fantastic episode that people might want to check out, for more information on that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so key because the prevalence of PCOS is increasing. Maybe they were more aware, you know, we're more aware of looking for it, but then we have all of these chemicals or environment that are increasing at an alarming rate. So through the plastics, through pesticides, through body care products. So definitely listen to episode 65 to take that strain off your hormonal system. And then we do know that stress will impact PCOS and hormones in several ways. When your cortisol is dysregulated, you are going to have a higher blood sugars. You're going to crave more sugars and carbohydrates and eat them. And it actually takes you 40% longer to process a high carbohydrate meal if you're in a state of stress or if you haven't had enough sleep, which can make you release more cortisol the next day, even if you're not presented with a super stressful situation. So it really puts you on that train to insulin resistance with not sleeping well, not dealing with stress. So that's another piece to the puzzle. And that's why it's also good to get your cortisol tested through urine or saliva, as we discussed before.
Absolutely. And again, you know, there's different ways to manage your stress and especially when we're talking about, you know, proper adrenal function and managing that cortisol balance. I mean, it could look like getting outside in nature, and I had a great conversation last year with Dr. Cindy Gilbert about forest bathing. So that's an option. And even, you know, our last episode where we had that wonderful sound bath. Again, those can be ways to really help to lower cortisol. So it is about really looking at what those stressors are in your life and helping to manage that. One also piece that I really like to recommend, it's, you know, a really traditional naturopathic treatment for a lot of different reproductive and digestive issues, is topical castor oil on the abdomen. Castor oil packs have been used for years to help to reduce inflammation in the tissues and even over the long term to reduce the amount of fibrotic tissue and cyst formation as well. So that's definitely something to really consider using to support the health of your ovaries as well.
Yeah, you could buy those pre-made. A lot of the health food stores are selling them that way. You just add the castor oil, you reuse the piece of flannel or material. And if you're lazy like me, you could just rub the castor oil on your lower abdomen if you're having any menstrual issues and allowing it to absorb there. That's still going to have benefits with reducing inflammation. And we talked about inflammation being one of the drivers of PCOS. So when we think about different foods or supplements, we definitely think about omega-3. So getting in good sources of fish, but you typically need a therapeutic dose in a supplement form when there is PCOS. It actually helps your insulin work better, and they have studied it with, you know, giving it to people with vitamin E for 12 weeks, and they did show an improvement in their insulin resistance. So their insulin was working better, their testosterone levels were more balanced. So things that reduce inflammation are definitely key to the treatment plan with diet, omega-3, even something like resveratrol as a supplement. You know, that's what we get from grapes. The antioxidants in wine is very anti-inflammatory. Even vitamin D, licorice, these are all things that can reduce inflammation as well. You always want to consult with your healthcare practitioner. You know, for example, licorice may increase your blood pressure, but these are some options out there, and even green tea too. So you can drink it, you can take it in supplement form, but that's been shown to reduce the inflammation. And then you get the added benefit of the stress-busting L-theanine in there, which is really calming and soothing to your system. So they have studied green tea and some of these other supplements in PCOS to help manage, you know, the insulin, the testosterone, to support weight loss and lipid profiles. So there's a lot of research on these supplements out there. It's not just, you know, this sounds good in theory. They're actually looking at this and measuring outcomes of people taking these.
Which is really fantastic, especially because now you mentioned, Lisa, that, you know, conventionally, especially when we're talking about PCOS, but any kind of irregular menstrual cycles, yeah, I mean, the tool that a lot of doctors have is just to use something like the pill, which can be fine for some women, but if you're not wanting to use those synthetic hormones and kind of override your natural hormonal system, but you're really looking at something to look at the root cause, you want to be looking for something different. And then especially if you are still wanting to have kids, you want to have something that actually supports your fertility. And you even mentioned, you know, metformin is often a medication that's used when it comes to PCOS. Well, thankfully, there are some really fantastic nutrients that can be used instead of, and there has been research looking at things like a nutrient called myo-inositol and a type of folic acid, the active folic acid, methylfolate, have been tested compared to metformin, and they do improve ovulation, improve conception, and myo-inositol works really similarly to metformin in terms of improving insulin sensitivity. So there are really effective natural options to use instead of medications. Even something as simple as cinnamon has been studied in women with PCOS to improve menstrual regularity. And there's definitely, you know, that link with cinnamon in terms of supporting your blood sugar balance too. And, you know, there's, like you said, vitamin D is, you know, a great pro-hormone, has been shown to improve your glucose metabolism. So that can be something to really look at. And again, something to test through your naturopathic doctor to make sure that you are able to get the optimal dose for you.
Mm-hmm. These are all great options. So don't go out and buy all these, but these are different angles you can approach it from depending on where your imbalances are. And other common, you know, insulin supporting blood sugar balancing nutrients include alpha lipoic acid, chromium. We talked about the importance of diet. And then we can look at herbs too. So herbs that balance the stress response in the body are going to be key. Things like rhodiola, schizandra, ashwagandha, licorice, if you don't have high blood pressure. This can be really important. And even a herb called tribulus that sometimes we think of more using in males, but it's being more used in females because it does help to regulate your hormones, deal with stress better. It helps with that irregular cycle. The irregular flow can help with your BMI and insulin levels and even your mood and quality of life. So there's a lot of good options out there. And even Vitex, you may have heard of, or Chase Tree is really key as well. It's used a lot in PCOS to support your cycle, to regulate the amount of flow, and it can have profound effects on normalizing low progesterone, that estrogen dominance, for example. So there's some really good options out there.
Absolutely. And you know, when we're talking about that, again, estrogen dominance and supporting liver detoxification, some other nutrients like DIM, calcium deglucuronate, hops. Again, so many different options. And this is where, I'm really thankful as a naturopathic doctor to have all these tools in my toolbox. So especially because there are so many options, getting a really individualized approach really makes sense depending on what exactly is happening with your health and putting all those pieces of the puzzle together so that you're not just, again, taking all of these different supplements that we just mentioned.
This is not a cookbook recipe, add all these in and poof, everything's good. No, it's not. You need to have that individualized approach, and even discussing probiotics, that's being studied in PCOS too to support weight loss and support insulin working properly, et cetera. So really, get tested, see where your imbalances are, track your cycle, track your temperature, and then talk to your healthcare practitioner about an individualized approach for you.
Awesome. I think we gave a lot of information about all of the options around ovarian cysts. What do you think, Lisa?
I think we did. Yeah, I think we're ready to move on to the next part of our podcast. So Tony, I wanted to ask you, what's your super mom moment that you wanted to share?
Well, I felt like a really great super mom, actually, even just this morning, because, here in Calgary, we had actually had a fair amount of spring snow, even over the weekend.
Oh.
So yeah, it was cloudy. It was kind of miserable. It was really not typical Calgary weather. But then the sun was out this morning, even though it was still chilly. I kind of mentioned the idea of Frankie riding her bike today home, and she was all over it because she hadn't been on her bike for a while. So I got her all bundled up. I was a total super mom because I remembered to bring extra mitts for her to switch out, because when it's cold out in the morning and when she's riding her bike, her hands can get cold. And even with her warm mitts, her hands will get cold and she'll want to switch out her mitts. So I had those extra mitts in my pocket on my body heat, kept them nice and warm. So I switched them out. I took those mitts that she took off. I put them in my pocket so I could use my body heat to warm them up. And we even switched them out again. I just was like really on top of it. And she had a great bike ride. I had a great walk beside her in the sunshine this morning, and no issues. We got there. It was fantastic. I totally rocked it.
Amazing. Talk about organized and then warming up her mitts. That's brilliant. You're on it.
For sure. Well, and I definitely had the experience of not being on it in previous times. So, I've definitely learned my lesson and learned the hard way. But I also learned from, my experience with having cold hands and going out skiing with my mom. My mom would do kind of the same thing where she would switch out her mitts with me and warm up my mitts and then switch them out. So, I guess shout out to my mom for training me that way to deal with those cold mornings here in Calgary.
Love it. So super mom moment, you to Frankie and then your mom to you. So great tips. And sorry, you still had some snow.
Yeah. Well, thankfully here in Calgary, especially, with the sunshine, that snow is completely gone. So yay. It's going to be nice at least this week. It's going to be good.
You need it.
No, knowing Calgary, that won't be the last time we see snow. So, it's just one of those things we live with, but oh well. Now, Lisa, I know you are an awesome mom, but do you think you can remember maybe a moment where you had a bit of a mama mess up that you can share with us?
I can. It's kind of the opposite of yours, because normally I used to be really organized and, bring the backpack, put everything in, check it, that everything was in there that I could potentially need. It was a big ordeal anticipating what could happen, but I was working this Saturday and it was a beautiful day. So finally around 3:30, I got outside with Stuart. He'd been with Pete and they'd been outside earlier, but so we got out. I said, I'm going to take him for ice cream. And we're going to go play in the park, physically distancing, of course. So we get to the ice cream shop and it's closed. So that's okay. So then he decides he wants to get some of these Greek donuts that are covered in chocolate sauce, because he thought they were going to be less messy than the ice cream cone from the store. So we got those and we got a few napkins, but whoa, the amount of chocolate was monumental and he got covered. So I used used up all the napkins. I didn't have any wipes in the bag. So I was really trying to improvise getting the chocolate off of him. So that was okay. And then we made it to the park and we were playing and he was riding his tricycle around, but then the chain fell off. And I don't know how, if you know how dirty chains are, but I didn't have any other napkins or things to wipe it with. So I was trying to put the chain back on and use whatever napkins I had left and leaves and things to get all the grease off. And I just couldn't do it. So I had to call Pete to come and pick us up because we were a fair distance away and it was a really heavy bike. And I just had enough at that point. So I guess it ended up being a super mom moment because I asked for help, you know, maybe before I would have tried to just carry this heavy bike home and, you know, it could have turned into a nightmare, but I just kind of had to laugh because it was one of those things where it was one thing after the other, but that was my mom mess up. I got to be more prepared with wipes. And then he was actually cold too, because he was in shorts and a t-shirt and it started off as a nice day, but it dropped down pretty quickly and I didn't have a sweatshirt in the bag. So whoops.
Oh, Lisa, that totally sounds like perfect storm. Yeah. But I love the fact that you just like called for help instead of just trying to deal with it yourself. I think that's definitely a win there. So
for
super mom moment in there with a little bit of a mama mess up.
Thanks, Tony. And what's your mama must have for the week? What are you loving right now?
Well, I am loving the fact that the Calgary Underground Film Festival is online this year. I'm a big fan of films and film festivals, and I've definitely missed going out to the theater to watch a film. So I was super happy when Davin let me know that the Calgary Underground Film Festival was online. We actually, after Frankie went to bed on the weekend, we got together and watched a film online. And thankfully, you know, there's a lot of different types of films online that you can stream. So you don't have to, you know, be, you know, able to watch a movie at a particular time. You can just, again, purchase a ticket and stream a movie, and it's available until May 1st. So we actually watched a really great film called Together Together with Ed Helms. He was an actor in the US version of The Office, and it was actually about surrogacy. So it was a really cute, funny film. And, you know, it was nice that it had a little aspect of you know, women's health, pregnancy, birth that I'm really interested in. And Davin really enjoyed it too. It was actually one of his picks. So lots of great films. So that definitely a mama must have for me for the next week. So I definitely recommend checking it out.
Oh, amazing. I want to watch that this Friday before they take it down. So thank you for sharing. And I'll have it with my mama must have. I'll watch it with my mama must have, which is my homemade bits and bites snack. Can I tell you about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I haven't heard of this before. So you need to share.
I guess I improvise with making bits and bites because I love those snacks. You know, I used to eat them as a kid, but not the best ingredients in there. So right now I'm mixing in. I found these. It's called Tum Yum. They're puffed fox nuts. So I guess it's like something that grows on the water lily, and they puff it up like a popcorn. And they have a really good one, Himalayan salt. They don't add, you know, sugar or spice to this one, but it kind of tastes like popcorn, but it's good for that salty, crunchy craving. And I do mix it up with some broken plantain chips. Sometimes I might add a bit of, you know, raw pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds, and maybe sprinkle a little bit more oil or salt or spices on there. But I like making my own little bits and bite snacks for that 3 p.m. crunchy, salty craving. So I serve it out in a bowl so I don't eat too much of it. You know, I don't bring the bag to, you know, where I'm doing work. I know I shouldn't be working and eating at the same time, but I do sometimes. But it's really delicious. So check it out. Tum Yum Puffed Fox Nuts. They do have spicy versions like a peri peri and tandoori, which are good. They add a little bit of sugar to it, but I like the plain ones the best.
I love that. I haven't heard of those. So thanks for sharing about that, Lisa. That is a great must have to have. Again, a nice kind of healthier alternative to bits and bites, and also a healthier alternative to popcorn as well. Very cool.
All right. Well, enjoy, but sorry if you get addicted. They're usually sold out at the Big Carrot here in Toronto, so they rarely have the Himalayan salt one. I think people are onto it. I should stop talking about them. I'm telling all my patients about it.
Okay, I'll have to check it out and hopefully I'll be able to find it in Calgary easily.
For sure.
So now what are you up to, again, outside of your practice? What's going on for that people should know about, Lisa?
Yeah. So if you catch this episode in time, I am doing a webinar on sleep with a yoga therapist, a clinic owner for massage and osteopathy, and an essential oils advocate on Thursday, April 29th at 7 p.m. So check out my Instagram account and our Perimenopausal Mamas account too, if you want to sign up. And outside of that, I am doing a fall launch or fall enrollment of the Wild Collective Toronto, my unique women's health community initiative. I have two groups going right now, and the transformations have blown me away. So if you want to be the first to know, it is a limited number of women that I accept in the fall. Go to www.wildcollectivetoronto.com. And Tony, what do you have going on right now?
Awesome. I'm right in the middle of a really fantastic hypnobirthing online group class. My next info session and group class will be in May of 2021. So it's really for, you know, expecting parents who are looking to really trust their instincts and the birthing body during labor and birth for really supporting a physiological birth. So you can definitely get more info at my website, www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com.
Sounds awesome, Tony.
So thanks for joining us today, everyone. Again, you can find our show notes at our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. And you can feel free to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We would love for you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. It definitely allows other perimenopausal mamas to find us easier. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.